Galatians chapter 5, going verse by verse in the book of Galatians. We're up to chapter 5, we're down to verse 10. And Lord willing, I'll be in verses 10 through 12 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, look here at verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of Christ ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide your word. Help me to bring forth this message that we'd be able to understand and be able to apply it to our heart. And Lord, that give me any examples, illustration, whatever it is that would help people. I pray that our heart would be open to your word. And Lord, that we would listen, that we would take it in. And Lord, go and study it out. Thank you for that you have given us your word that we can know the truth. And Lord, thank you that you have loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. Thank you for that love that you have for us. Lord, I just pray for your protection over us. Keep us safe. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning I'll be preaching on Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. So if you remember, I'm going to try to do a quick summary of probably a couple months or more of the book of Galatians. If you think back, the book of Galatians at the beginning, Paul wrote this epistle. That means God told Paul what to write, and Paul penned it down. And as he wrote this, he wrote it to, there was different churches, right? In verse 2, you'll see that in chapter 1, it was different churches that would get this epistle. And in there, he talked about the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's hope, right? We have a hope that Jesus loved you and died for you, was buried and rose again, who forgive you of your sins. And Paul, starting in this book, because there were people that came in that was teaching falsely, right, and was trying to get these Gentiles or these Jewish people back under the law. And what Paul was doing was trying to tell them through this book, as you continue to go through it, we're up to chapter 5 now, and saying, no one has a right to change the gospel. No one. God is the one who gave it. No individual, no angels, no church, no one. He even referred to himself, even if I, right? So no one has the right to change it. God is the one that gave it. And he went through and he used different illustrations that was in the Old Testament to try to show them about salvation by faith. You think about grace and works are complete opposite, right? You can't have them both, right? It's either you're saved by grace or you're saved by works. You can't have both of them. And that's what Paul's been talking about as we've been going through here. And then by the time we get up to chapter 5, he's telling them that we have this Jesus has set us free, right? We've been forgiven of our sins. He talks about in the last week, I think it was down to verse 7 through 9, he's talking about people that have come in and tries to cause problems. He's saying, well, this isn't from God, right? A little leaven, just a little false doctrine will hurt you spiritually. And that he used that example, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. You know, you just put in a little yeast and in that flour, you know, 2-3%, whatever it would be, a small amount, that leavens the whole lump. What he's saying is just a small amount of false doctrine is going to hurt you. So it's kind of a quick summary of up to where we are. And now in verse 10, so you think about the Bible, here in this epistle, as he wrote this, he's building upon what he's talking about, right? He's talking about the gospel, the freedom that we have in Christ, that he's forgiven us. He used all these examples, and then last week he was talking about the false teachers. So now he's in verse 10 when he picks up here. We can't forget that, right? You can't pick and choose, just take a verse out of the Bible and say, this, you know. So you have to remember this. When he says this in verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord. What we see here in verse 10 and verse 12, he's kind of, those verses are kind of linked up from this standpoint. He was saying, hey, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you're going to do what's right. That you will listen to what I'm telling you. That you would understand that these false teachers that came in and were trying to get you, as maybe these Gentiles, to be circumcised, to go under the law. He's saying, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you're going to do what's right. That you'll realize that is not what the Bible tells you. Right? You don't have to do those things for salvation. That's what he's saying here. But the reality is, the key that's in there, he says, for I have confidence you through the Lord, that you be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever it be. But you see, the key is through the Lord, not on your own self. Because the reality is, if we try to handle it in our own way, if we try to handle it and just get away from the Scripture and say, well, let me just think about this. Well, the reality is this, we could be deceived. We could fall for the misleading or the misteachings of these false teachers. And what Paul was saying, I have confidence in you that you're going to do what's right, but it's through the Lord. If you allow the Lord to lead you, if you allow the Lord to direct you, if you allow the Scriptures to speak to your heart, you're going to come to the same conclusion of what you've known at the beginning. The reality is, you think about, these were Christians. They were born again. They accepted the Lord as their Savior. And what happened? In time, someone came in and got them to think they had to go back and do these things. And what Paul was saying is, hey, he was trying to get them to go back, and when they got saved and how their life changed, just go back to those times. And remember what God has said. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Now, if the confidence was just in me, if the confidence was just in you, the reality is we could be in trouble. Amen? There wouldn't be that confidence. Amen? Because the reality is, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Amen? He had confidence in the Lord that if they had an open heart, if they studied it out, if they were listening to what God said, they would come to the same conclusion. Amen? Can I tell you, this Bible does not contradict. It doesn't. Amen? This Bible does not contradict. God does not contradict. You know what happens? You'll have someone that will cherry pick. They will take a verse out of the Bible and say, ah, look at this. Well, the reality is this. God doesn't contradict. Amen? God doesn't tell someone salvation is this way and salvation is that way. Amen? God says salvation is by faith. Amen? And if not, the reality is, if he taught it was of works or something different, then that is not true. Amen? That means that God is a liar. God's not a liar. Amen? God is truthful. So what we see is God never compromises. God's not the author of confusion. And since God's not the author of confusion, and since God never compromised, the reality is this. If someone would just go to the Scripture and allow God to speak to their heart and look at it, they'll come to the same conclusion. There's been things in my life where I have studied it out, and after I studied it out, I was like, wow, I see this. And I remember one time, there was a preacher. Who was it that your dad liked? He's in Canada. Do you remember his name?
Rockwood,
right? Rockwood. And I remember, it's my father-in-law, but I still call him Dad. He's in heaven now. But I remember he was a fan of him. And I remember there was something that he had. I think it was on sign gifts. And I remember I studied it out and I read what he had. You know what? We came to the same conclusion. Every single thing I was thinking was the same thing that I read in this material, even though I didn't read it beforehand. Do you know why? Because what he got it from was he got it from the Bible. And what I got it from was directly from the Bible. Amen? Wasn't the influence of others. I just sat at the side and said, what does the Bible say? And we came to the same conclusion. Why is that? Because I have confidence through the Lord. Amen? This Bible does not contradict. Amen? But then he gives them a warning. He says, but he that trouble you shall bear the judgment, whosoever he be. This ringleader, this person that was influencing these churches that were there, that had other people that were there, that were trying to get them to think this way. Paul said, hey, this person will be judged. God will judge them. Amen? Folks, I want you to understand, it may seem like, especially in the world that we live in today, that people are getting away with stuff. Folks, can I tell you, you're not going to get away. It's only by the mercy and grace of God. Amen? You may think, well, why didn't God do something? Well, He's God. Amen? And God knows what's best. So sometimes we would say, God should step in now. Well, aren't you glad God didn't step in your life when you sinned? Amen? I mean, you think about it, God is good. Amen? God's merciful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here it is, he says, this person who troubles you. What is it? Why are they troubling them? Because they're getting away from believing the Scripture. So that anyone that gets you away from believing the Scripture, they'll trouble you. They'll hurt you. You're not going to grow like you should spiritually. And here it is, Paul was saying, God will judge them. Now the goal is that this person would get right. Amen? That this person would repent and see what the Bible teaches. Isn't that what happened to Paul? Before Paul was saved, I mean, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I mean, he was zealous. He hated Christians and hated Jesus Christ. If he heard that there was a Christian, I mean, you rest assured, Saul would have been there to try to destroy the church. But God had mercy on him and saved him. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, it's my desire to see people get saved. I had a gentleman fill in. I can't remember if it was, I think it was last year or the year before. It must have been last year. Evangelist Munson. Some of you may remember him. Evangelist Munson. He was in a cult. I can't remember if it was the Mormons or if it was... I can't remember which one, 7 Day, whatever they are. But he was in a cult, and he really believed what they taught. Until one day, someone opened up his eyes to the truth. Amen? And now Brother Munson is out, and he's trying to reach people with the gospel. Folks, can I tell you, God is merciful. Amen? I'm glad that God, in His timing, ended up saving that man. Amen? Some people have said he should have got rid of him a long time ago. He's not willing that any should perish. My goal is not to see people die and go to hell. That's not my desire. My desire is I want people to get saved and go to heaven. Amen? That young man who shot that guy that murdered him. Can I tell you, my desire for that man is someone would share the gospel to him. That young man that was is deceived, that's in sin, that's filled with wickedness, will receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, that he would go to heaven. Amen? You may say, preacher, you should... Yes, I want people in heaven. Amen? Now, that man deserves to die. Amen? And I hope in Utah that that's what he gets. I hope they do give him capital punishment. He took a life. But the reality is, I don't want to see that man go to hell. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. Amen? Here it is. So what he's saying to them, if you jump down to verse 12, we'll get back to verse 11. He says, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Right? Cut off these people that are troubling you, not just the ringleader, but the others that are following, that would be separated. Get away, right? Cut off. They don't come in anymore. Why? Because he cared for them. They were following this false teaching. Do you know, we're living in a day and age where people don't like Bible preaching. They don't want to hear Bible preaching. But the reality is this, God has given us His Word. And if someone's teaching something contrary to the Scripture, God has told us, hey, we should stay separate. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here, and we'll come back to Galatians. Over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. What does that mean? I'm not talking about being mean, right? Don't ever do that. Amen? But the reality is, don't link up with them. Don't fellowship. Don't go to their churches or whatever. If they're preaching something that's a false doctrine, don't do that. Right? You may say, preacher, why would you say that? Well, that's what God said. Look here in Romans chapter 16. I won't go to every verse. Look here in Romans chapter 16. Look here at verse 17. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, here it is, Paul, when he was writing this, he says to mark them. How are you going to mark them? He's not talking about a Sharpie, right? Right? But you think about it, how are you going to mark something, right? Well, it has to be in your mind, right? So, how can you know if this person is teaching something that's contrary, right? He says here, mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, right? So what he's saying is when you hear something that's taught, preached, whatever, that's different from this Bible, he says to mark them. You know what that means? That means you have to make a judgment. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and verse 1 and verse 2 are some of the misused verses of the whole Bible. There's other ones that are there. Judge not that ye be not judged, right? I have heard that different times where people say, you're judging me. And their response when I tell them, you're right. They think they got me, Mark. And I say, but there's a right way and a wrong way. Because in that same chapter where people will misuse and say, you are judging me. There's a difference between judging you of my opinion and my preferences versus judging you according to what the Scripture says, right? So anyway, he says what? To avoid them, right? So I know you believe me, but let me show you. Go back here to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, it's always best to see the Scripture, amen, and to go to it. Look here at Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. Has anyone ever heard that before? You shouldn't judge people, right? I'm sure most of you probably have heard it, right? So, and now you're like, preacher, you're saying something a little bit different? Well, follow me, right? Just don't misunderstand me. Look here in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, right? A lot of times people will take this and say, you should not judge at all. That's not what the Bible's teaching you, right? He tells us here, for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured unto you again, right? So the reality is, you think about if you're extremely hard on things, you're going to get it back, right? But do you know in this same chapter that people will say you should never judge? Look here at verse 15. Same chapter. 14 verses later. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? So even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Hopefully I read that correctly. Hopefully, if not, sorry. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. How are you going to know if something is good or wrong? As here is an example of someone had sheep clothing. They both had the appearance of a Christian or minister. How do you know that this minister here is a good minister? And how do you know this person that's a preacher is a bad one? How are you going to know? Right? Does that mean that if you're not going to judge, that you should say they're all good? That's not what the Bible's telling us, right? How are you going to know? By their fruit, right? Did you ever pick up a piece of fruit and examine it? I love fruit. Amen. And sometimes I got plums from Sam's Club. Oh, they were good. Then I got some plums from Sam's Club. They weren't good, right? Someone was like, ugh, right? Did you ever get a fruit that was bad? You know? How do you know it was bad? Well, sometimes you may look at it, right? Sometimes you may cut it open, right? You look at it and it's like, ugh. So what are you doing? You're examining that fruit and you're judging it. Is that a good fruit? Or is that a bad fruit, right? The same chapter that he's telling that people misuse and say, you should not judge. He tells us that we should examine. He tells us to judge. But it's not based on opinions. It's based on the fruit. What's that mean? What they're teaching. What they're preaching, right? God is not against judging per se. God is against unrighteous judgment. But God wants you to judge based according to the Scripture, right? Because if not, if you cannot judge, then that means you can never say what that person's teaching is wrong. Because if you say they're wrong, Marilyn, you're judging them. Right? God's not against judging. As long as it's a biblical, right? You're not going to know by the fruit. How are you going to know? You're going to examine. But Romans chapter 16, it says, contrary, right, to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. So you know what you're doing? You're listening to what you're hearing, and you're comparing it to what the Bible says. And if the Bible says what they're teaching is wrong, then God says to avoid them. Stay away. But you're judging. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? Understand what's there? So the reality is, if you think about it, it's not judging according to your opinion, right? I can't stand up here and judge according to my opinion and say, huh, she doesn't have a big smile on her face. She's not right with God. I'm judging her, but it's not according to Scripture. I'm wrong in my judgment. Does that make sense? But if someone's preaching something that says whatever it is, right, that there's multiple gods from the standpoint of, you know, one day you'll become a god. Mormons believe that. One day you'll become a god. And I say, well, that's wrong. Is that my opinion? No, it's because what God said. Do you understand? There's a difference between a righteous judgment and an unrighteous judgment. Amen? And what we see is when Paul's saying that they'd be cut off, it wasn't based on Paul's opinion, but it was based on what they were teaching. What they were teaching. So go back here to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Hopefully that makes sense to you. If not, go back and look. Amen. How else would you know? Amen. Unless you examine. And that examining is judging. Amen. But it's a righteous judgment, not an unrighteous judgment. Look back here to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, I think some of you need to get you some more coffee in you. You look tired, amen. Look here at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11. Look what Paul says here, right? So again, what's he doing? He's trying to help these believers because there were people, the ringleader that came in, other people that were influencing them. He was trying to get these people to go back under the law. And Paul says, hey, you know, that's wrong. They should not do that. And now what we see is there was something that was flying around about Paul. And Paul is addressing it, right? And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision. So we know what he's talking about here, because if you go back to Galatians, what he's talking about is there were people falsely accusing Paul of that the Gentiles would then have to be circumcised and then go under the law. That's what these people were teaching, right? And Paul's saying, there's people out there that are teaching me this, right? Or saying that I'm saying with my own mouth that the Gentiles should be circumcised and go under the law. And he's using that because these people are aware of it. You can see in his answer. And if I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, he's not saying he is doing this, right? He's getting someone that's slandering him, or there's people that are slandering him. He's telling them these things. He says, why do I yet suffer persecution? He said, these Jewish people are saying, but Paul also is saying that the Gentiles should be circumcised and go under the law. Paul's saying, if that's the case and that's the message that I'm preaching, then why are they still persecuting me? Wouldn't that be where I'm teaching and preaching the same thing they are? Right? And then he said, if that's the case, He says, then is the offense of the cross ceased. The power of the cross, right? Why was it that these Jewish people that hated Paul and his preaching that was there? Because Paul told them that law could not save you. Only Jesus Christ can. If Paul is now saying, which he wasn't, that they had to be circumcised and the law would save them, then what he's saying is then the cross is done. It's done away. Right? He's like, then it's a work-based salvation. What he's showing him, these people there, is he's trying to get them to think. Think about this. There's people that are slandering me. They're saying these things. He says, just think it through. They may say, well, even Paul believes this way. Well, if that's the case, then why are they going against me? Why are they persecuting me? Why are they saying these things? Paul never said that someone had to then be circumcised and keep the law for their salvation. You'll never find it. Amen? Now, there may have been a time where Paul said something to, I think it was to Timothy, but it wasn't related to salvation. And what we see is these Jewish people took his words and twist it to try to justify their point. Folks, can I tell you, if you need to take someone's word and twist them around or lie about something, you should really sit back and think, what is it that I believe? If what I believe is based on a lie, then there's something wrong with what I believe. You may say, preacher, how do you know? Well, look here in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15. What they were doing was they were lying about Paul to try to justify their beliefs. Can I tell you, you'll have people lying about Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, it gets under my skin when I hear politicians to try to take Bible verses out of context to justify, you know, socialism and Marxism, you know. God doesn't want those things, amen. That's ungodly things, amen. And boy, it gets under my skin. Look here at the book of Acts chapter 15. So Paul didn't teach them these things, right? Look here, it's starting in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Then certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and accept. Right? So here is people coming down. Except ye be circumcised after the matter of Moses, ye cannot be saved. There were people that came down and they were teaching these things, right? So when you see Galatians, you can see this, you can see this. And what was it? They were telling these people, these Gentiles, you guys got to be circumcised. What were they doing? Trying to get them to go under the law. Verse 2. When therefore Paul, remember what we just saw in Galatians, and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, and determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem and the apostles and elders about this question. They were like, hey, that's not true. That's what they were doing. That's not true. These Gentiles don't have to do this. They don't have to go back under the law. You know, this was a major doctrine that they were dealing with, right? Verse 3, verse 4, they go by and they're talking about these things, what God did for the Gentiles. And look here at verse 5. Let's see that verse 3 and 4. But there arose a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. When there was much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Remember, Paul or Peter went to Cornelius and those people that were there, they were Gentiles. And Peter was preaching and telling that Jesus is the only way to salvation. What was it? They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They got saved. That's what he's saying here. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. There was a sign gift that was there that they heard him speak in tongues. It was an actual language, what? Glorifying God. It was so those Jewish people there, who did not believe the Gentiles could be saved, could see that God saved them, right? And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Look what he says here, verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers or we are able to bear? Peter himself was there. Paul was there. The other, think about believers that were there. He's standing up and saying, these people are saying these Gentiles had to be circumcised, had to go back unto the law to be saved. And he's saying, why are you doing this? We can't do that for salvation. We're not perfect. We needed Jesus Christ to save us. And that's what he's saying. Why are you putting a yoke on them that they can't bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, not works, grace, we shall be saved even as they. Amen? There was he was clear, right? So you think about those that were saying these things about Paul. Paul was there and he's like, hey, no, that's not the case, right? And here it is, they were there. If you, for sake of time, if you continue to go through, they wrote a letter and they sent it to the Gentiles, right? Verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this matter. The apostles and elders and brothers send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Wherefore, as we have heard that certain which came out from us have troubled you, right? With words subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Huh? He was telling them, these Gentiles, they didn't have to be circumcised. They didn't have to keep the law for salvation. It was placing their faith in Jesus Christ. Here's their own words, amen, saying, we didn't say that. There were those who troubled. So you go back to the book of Galatians. Well, there were those who troubled them. They came in and said, hey, you got to do these things. And Paul said, hey, they're even saying I did it, but I never said that. If I would, why are they still going after me? Right? Wouldn't I be on their team? And that's what he's trying to say to them. He says, you know, that they would be cut off, you know, that whoever it is would have their judgment. Why? Because he's like, this is a major doctrine. What they're doing is wrong. And even their own words, they testify. And what are they saying? We didn't say this. We're not saying those things. Now, next week when we get into the book of Galatians, we'll go a little bit further. That doesn't mean that you can go out and live any which way that you want to. Amen? And so you always have to remember that as you're going book of Galatians, that you could see that. So Paul brings that up next week. But what do we see here? They tried to lie about Paul. They try to justify things which he never said. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of John. In John chapter 8. Hopefully I'm making sense here. Look here at John chapter 8. Hopefully I'll follow him. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8. How many ever heard that people say that when Jesus was with the lady that was caught in adultery, that he didn't condemn her? A lot of you may have heard that somewhere. Well, let's look what the Bible says, right? Because it's true, but sometimes people only give you half of the information that you need to hear. In John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Do you know in the Old Testament, God gave to Moses and did tell them that if someone was caught in adultery that was there, they should be stoned? So the reality is what they said is truthful. But you know, there was an agenda from these people that brought that woman. Do you know how I know there was an agenda? Mark, you know. How do you know?
No man.
Yeah, where was the man? Right? They had an agenda. They knew who that lady was. And the reality is they brought that woman. But where was the man? Right? They had an agenda. So here it is. They set this woman down in front of the Lord in the temple in front of everyone. And they were thinking, we got Jesus. Because if he says, stoner, we'll say, look, the man wasn't here. He did wrong. Right? Or they'll say, there's no compassion of this man. Right? They thought in their minds they had Jesus. And the Bible says here, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Jesus did not say she shouldn't be stoned. Right? But he tells them, you without sin. Why was it? Because they were tempting him. And God knew the reason they brought that woman. And the reality is he said, all right. You know, he didn't say, Moses didn't say that because he's God, right? That is his word. He said it, right? He says, the person that's without sin, you cast the first stone. Why was that? Because they brought her to ultimately for a reason to try to justify them politically, try to justify them for their actions. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, it wasn't what was written on the ground. It was what he told them, right? You don't hear something that's on the ground, amen? You hear the words. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When they heard what Jesus said, they realized they were convicted and saying, whoa, we did this. We brought that woman here, and we are just as guilty, you know. Maybe someone committed adultery with her. I don't know. They all laughed. And it was Jesus with her. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thy accuser? Has no man condemned thee? See, in the Old Testament, Marilyn, there would have to be two witnesses that would come and bring that person, two or three witnesses. And the reality is, it was Jesus in her. Where's the witnesses? Where's the two witnesses, right? It's just him. And the Bible says, she said, no man, Lord. Right? And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. I'll read the last part here later. Why is that? Because there wasn't two witnesses that were there. You want to talk about fulfilling of the scripture. He is God, is always God. He's always doing what's right. And the reality is in the Old Testament, it said unless there was two or three witnesses, you know, there had to be that, right? There was no other witnesses. He was saying, where is thy accuser, right? He was following exactly to the scripture that he gave Moses, Bob. Because he knows it, right? And she's like, they're not here. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Because he can, right? A lot of times people stop right there. See, Jesus did not condemn the woman in adultery. Go and sin no more. He didn't tell her to continue to live in adultery. He said, don't do it again. Go and sin no more. More, right? What you're doing is wrong. Amen? Go and sin no more. But I can tell you, there's a lot of people that stop right there and say, look, Jesus doesn't condemn me. Well, what are they doing? They're taking a verse out of contents, not knowing what the scripture says. But the reality is this. If this lady didn't accept the Lord, I believe she personally did. But if this lady didn't accept the Lord, when she died, she would have went to hell. And when she stands before God, give an account of her life, she'd be judged according to her works, which means her sin, and be cast in the lake of fire. And what she's done is she was guilty, right? How is it that, because He's God and He follows the Scripture, amen, He never lies. But what, the reason I'm bringing that up is because you're going to have people that will twist things around to try to justify things. They try to justify their sin, right? Marilyn, it's only a little white lie. No, that's sin. It's a lie. Why is it that you take something that's evil, amen, and you try to make it white? Well, you're saying it's justified. No, a lie is a lie, right? So anyway, what we see in the Scripture, people will take things out of contents. You'll hear it today, right? You'll have it. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And I tell them, well, yeah, I am judging you. But I'm judging you not based on my opinion, but I'm judging you based on what this book says, right? We have someone that's living in homosexuality. How can you tell me it's wrong? Well, God says it's wrong, right? Someone living in fornication. Why do you tell me it's wrong? Because God says it's wrong, right? Someone that's a drunk. How can you tell me it's wrong? Because God says it's wrong. Amen? What matters is not me and my opinion. What matters is what's in this book. And this book teaches us the truth. This is the truth. Amen? You may not like it, but that still doesn't change the truth. Amen? Now, there's some things I don't like, but it's the truth, right? I don't like it when my doctor takes blood and looks at it and he says, last time I did was okay. He looks at my cholesterol and he says, last time he says, your cholesterol's a little borderline. I didn't like that. But still the truth, right? And if my cholesterol, if I keep on eating those McDonald's greasy burgers and I continue to eat those donuts or whatever it is and milk, cheese, I love cheese, amen. I'm thinking, oh, I love cheese, amen. And milk, and my cholesterol continues to go up. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully my oatmeal and other things I'm eating will bring it down or get it there. I'm not going to get mad at the doctor when my doctor says, hey, your cholesterol is 300 or 400 or 500. Buddy, you're going to have a heart attack. I'm not going to get mad at him if he's telling me the truth. I may not like it. When he says, hey, you shouldn't eat those hamburgers. I heard this. This is all free for you. You know, when the doctor says that I should stop eating the McDonald's hamburgers, I know what he's really saying, Diane, that I should go to Burger King. That's what I'm assuming. I heard that somewhere. Amen. So anyway, what I'm saying is we shouldn't twist the Scripture, take it out of contents. If God said it, that settles it. And what Paul was saying is, I don't care who these people are that come in. They have no right to change the Scripture. And whoever it is, God will judge them that they would be separated. And he's saying, I never said that. Because this is what the Bible says. Amen? Folks, I don't know what you're going to run into this week. But one thing I know for sure is this book is always truthful. This book will never lead you wrong. I have confidence in you through the Lord. That you allow the Lord to show you. You'll come to the same conclusion as what's in this book. Because God never compromises His Word. Let's close. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, there is so much that I can go through. And Lord, I believe that people grasp it or have enough that's here that they can go home and search it out. And I pray in our heart, Lord, that we would just allow You to show us the truth. And Lord, that we would follow it. I pray, Father, that You be with this time of invitation. Pray Your will be done. We ask in Jesus' precious name.